The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's been too long since David Gillick has been with us here in studio, but he has a lovely new book, Back on Track, Eat, Move, Think and Rest Your Way to Your Happiest, Healthiest Self, which I want to talk to him about. David, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
I remember the last couple of times you were on the programme, it wasn't long after you retired from athletics, but an awful lot has happened to you since then. I think for an awful lot of athletes and people in sport, it's a very difficult time, isn't it? It's almost like experiencing a death while you're still alive.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It is a death. And I think if you were to look at, say, people who've researched that whole transition from elite sport into the real world, as I call it, you go through the exact same cycle, the grief cycle, as if you lost someone that you loved. You go through the same stages. And that's where I found myself for a number of years. You know, struggling with identity, struggling with a purpose, a goal, a routine, that big why, what did I want to do now, where was I going,
so all the these identity questions. Thing's interesting, because would you consider yourself an Olympic athlete?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, like, and that is who David Gillick was to everyone else, but to yourself as well, that's who you were.
My identity was everything about running around the track as fast as I could. My confidence, my self-belief, my self-esteem all came from trying to get a performance. And if that performance was good, I was happy. If the performance was bad, I wasn't happy. And I kind of soon realised that my only confidence stream or confidence river came from the athletics track. So if you like, all my eggs were in that basket. So the minute I stepped off that track, I was soon kind of questioning things and waking up on a Monday morning thinking, what am I going to do this week?
Yeah, loss of focus, because when you're an athlete, and when I say athlete, you as a sprinter, hurdler, any sport, there tends to be a degree of obsession about it, isn't there? I mean, it becomes, if you're going to be as good as you have to be completely almost one-dimensional in your focus.
You are. And hindsight is great, but I will look back at my career and I'm now at a point where I can look back at it with fondness. And, you know, I put everything into it. I put my whole lifestyle, my whole life into it. And I was obsessed with all elements. I was obsessed with my food. I was obsessed with my rest. I loved plans, I loved routine, all of that, my training sessions, everything. That's what mattered at that time. And I think that is, you know, when you look at kids coming through now, people that are starting their professional sporting careers, the ability to switch off. But that's like in any walk of life.
See, I thought you were doing really well when you finished, because you were doing things like Celebrity Master Chef. You were doing a lot of things in relation to cooking, lifestyle issues like that. And I didn't realise that at the same time you were actually still struggling so much.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, Matt, you don't really know what goes on beyond the front door. And, you know, I used to put on acts and, you know, if people asked me, Dave, what are you doing now? I'd give them a big story. I'd say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Because I kind of, the way I felt at the time was that I'd come off a relatively successful sporting career and now the next phase of my life had to be successful. And I thought that's what people viewed. So if I didn't have a plan or I didn't have a goal, that was like almost a sign of weakness. I was lost and I didn't want to portray that. And I used to say to like the people, God, I should be in Hollywood getting Oscars for the act that I put on, you know. But inside, I'll be honest, I was all over the place. I was in turmoil. I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to do. And that scared me. That gave me a lot of anxiety. And I used to flip and flop between the future and the past. Got to the point where I used to kind of idolise myself. I couldn't believe I was someone that ran in the Olympics and won medals and ran a big stadium. And then I'd flip 10 years down the line and think, where am I going to be in 10 years? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? And it was scary. It was
How low did you go?
Very low, yeah. And that's something I wanted to kind of put in this book, you know. Obviously, it is a cookbook, but it's a healthy lifestyle book. And that was the lead on from my first book, which was all about food. This one now elaborates a little bit more on the holistic approach to well-being. But I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be honest with myself. And I wanted to be honest with everybody else and say, this is how low I got. And there was a number of years where I didn't want to come to terms with it. So I kept everything in-house and look, to be honest with you, there was very negative thoughts. There was thoughts, you know, and I say it in the book, there were suicidal thoughts. And it got to the point where it was Sundays. Sundays was my worst day of the week. I dreaded the week. You know, I dreaded the week. I used to firefight till a Friday. Saturday I was okay. The minute Sunday came around, it was, oh no, oh no. And it didn't matter if it was the middle of summer and it was a great sunny day or, you know, there was positive things going on. All I saw was negative. And internally, my dialogue was very negative. And you began kind of to believe your own voice, you know.
How did you change that?
It wasn't easy. I think step number one was I was honest with myself and I needed help. And
did you go and get help? Because this is a big thing.
I did, yeah. I rang a friend of mine who has a similar background in sport, and that was step number one. Had a cup of tea with him, and we went for a walk. And because that was one interesting thing, I think, you know, when it comes to mental health, I was very uncomfortable. People knew I was struggling, and they'd say, "David, come on for a cup of tea." And we'd sit down like we are here, and you're looking at me and over a cup of tea, and you'd say, "How are you?" That would scare me. That I always found that very uncomfortable. But what I did learn was, you know, and maybe men and women, we differ. Women are great at conversing face-to-face. I think men were better talking shoulder-to-shoulder in a different environment. And I kind of learned, you know, from taking a walk in the park with a friend, I was more comfortable to express how I was feeling. And that was step number one. From that moment on, that was late December 2015. 2016 came around, I started counselling. I went counselling every week. I still go. I go every second week now. Best thing I've ever done. Because through that process, I began to learn about myself. Like, why did I think those things and why was I feeling that way? And it was clearly evident. I just didn't understand it and didn't allow myself to listen to myself. So through dialogue, I began to really understand, you know, who I was and why I was feeling in a certain way and what were the triggers? What were the things that set me in that kind of slippery slope, if you like? And through that, I then began to implement little strategies, little tips, little advices, or people gave me advice, things like that. And that really helped. And that's why I wanted to showcase it in this book. And it's the simple things. It's getting out, it's been active. It's having adequate rest.
But as well as that, how important was it? Just, again, simple, basic things in life. Getting married, having children.
Yeah, well, I did. I got married to Charlotte a couple of years ago now, 4 years ago. We have Oscar, who's 2.5, and we have a little baby girl, Olivia, who's a month old. And
congratulations.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. And that did change. Like, that was, to be honest, that was the catalyst. Like, that Sunday in question, I had a panic attack in the kitchen, and Charlotte was 8 months pregnant with Oscar, and we were married by this stage. And, you know, she wanted to help me. She didn't know how. She was obviously emotionally involved, and anything she said, I would just have a fit of rage. The red mist would descend. But it got to the point where I had huge anxiety attack, panic attack, and she broke down in tears. And that was the catalyst. I remember thinking, I can't bring someone into this world if I'm not 100% right. And that was it. So, like, Oscar was the catalyst. Charlotte being pregnant was a catalyst for me to go, you know what? Nobody else can help me if I don't help myself. And I remember making that phone call. I remember my first day going into counselling and actually going, how am I here? How did I get here? What made this point come around? But I'm so glad I did take that step. And, you know, that whole kind of mental health and the stigma, I worried about that for so long. I thought people would look at me as a piece of glass, very brittle. You know, what, David, are you going to get? And, you know, now I feel I'm way more comfortable in my own skin. I'm so glad that I've been honest with myself.
Do you have to work on it all the time, though?
My mental health is something I'm going to be managing for the rest of my life. It is. And I've accepted that. But what I have learned is there's basic things that I can do on a daily basis. I understand the triggers. I have a toolbox now, and I know things that, you know, you're not going to be in a good place all the time. You're going to have your days.
Sure.
But I understand that, and I kind of realise now the simpler things that I can do that can get me back on the straight and narrow.
But this is why the book is so interesting to me, because it's not, you did a cookbook previously, yeah. And I know it's a real passion of yours, but you deal with things in a way that you go through four different sections: mindset, movement, rest and diet. This sort of holistic approach to making sure that you put yourself into as good a place as you possibly can be. Start with me, mindset. You're interesting on this because you sort of look between the difference between having a fixed or a growth mindset.
Yeah, and it was something that I kind of read about. You know, there's a couple of professors in the States that have gone really in depth in terms of mindset. And it was interesting because, you know, for me, the fixed mindset was you're born with a certain level of talent, a certain level of IQ, and that's you. That's you, box off. There's nothing you can do with it. That's the hand you're dealt. Deal with it. The opposite of that, the growth mindset is, you know what? I can learn new skills. I can put my hand up and ask for advice. And better yourself. And that was something that I think, you know, back from my athletic days, I can remember kind of writing down, right, I want to make a global final. And that voice inside my head would say, forget about it, David. You can't do that. You're Irish. Not a chance. But then the opposite was that, well, you know what? I can learn. I can ask for help and I can better myself. And that's one thing I went about my athletic career. And that's exactly what I do now. You know, there's that my identity was so closely aligned with sport, I didn't know what I was good at. So I actually went and got help. I went to people and kind of worked on, from a career perspective, to better myself.
The fact is that sometimes if people think you can only be good at one thing, so if you're good at sport, well then, I don't have the sport, is there anything else I could be good at?
Exactly, exactly. And I think, you know, your mindset, and you'll flip and flop, you'll go from a grow to a fix, but through that I kind of began to learn about, you know, having clear goals and that kind of purpose and that why, and allowing myself to explore options. You know, I didn't have to have a plan. You know, I had one when I was running. It doesn't have to exactly fall into place, because we all have an idea, a dream of the way our life's going to unfold. In reality, it can be a lot different. So mindset for me is a case of kind of looking at your confidence, how you build confidence, gratitude, that wall of belief, you know, what makes you you.
You also concentrate on movement, and it's really interesting that somebody like you, who would have been a top class athlete, you almost say, you let yourself go. You just sort of stopped. And you got back into it with your wife in a kettlebell class. But the importance of regular movement.
Yeah. And I think that's really a key point, because I think people will look at me and kind of go, oh, you're an elite athlete. You know, it was all about Olympics and stuff like that. But now I'm back doing my local park run. Now, you know, I go down to my local soccer pitch and I'll run, you know, 5 by a minute. I'll be home in 20 minutes. You know, that's it. It's not that you have to kind of, you know, go out, all right, I'm doing a Dublin marathon this year, or I'm going to do a marathon. I need to go out tomorrow and do a marathon. It's short, smart, like smart little small things that you can implement over the course of the week, you know. And I think, you know, recently, even this week, we've heard a lot about, you know, the levels of obesity, and that women aren't getting out and exercising as much as men and things like this. That's been well documented. But in the book, I've kind of included little things that you can do at home in the local park, really basic things that can just get the body moving. Because I think for me, that really helped both physical well-being, but more importantly, my mental well-being.
But then rest is also equally as important, isn't it?
It is. And again, like it's a hot topic at the moment in terms of, you know, that ability to switch off. And I think, you know, in the world we live in now, it's fast-paced. Like, information is everywhere. It's 24/7, and it can be very, very difficult to actually put the phone down, you know, pick up a book, you know, pick up the newspaper and actually switch off. And that's something that I really struggled with. I was on 24/7. It affected the way my sleep. It affected, like, the first thing in the morning, I'd wake up, the phone was in my hand and it was information. I was comparing myself with a lot of other sports people who had moved on for their career. And then internally, I was thinking, why wasn't I do that? Just the frustration, the anxiety. So that ability to switch off. Sleep is very important.
Yeah, because I noticed that for an awful lot of modern sports people now, they've been actively encouraged not just to look after their diet, perhaps stretch themselves even further when it comes to the physical exercise to get fit, but then balancing it out with almost a Damien Duff level of obsession with sleep.
Absolutely, but these are the things I was told back in the day. It was like, you know, train hard, rest harder. And it's the exact same way now. Like, we all work hard. We've all got, you know, a lot going on. Kids, partners, wives, all that sort of stuff. And you're juggling, you're spinning a lot of plates. So for me, it was a case of like that ability, even over the course of the day, to just unplug yourself. It could be, you know, a couple of minutes here and there. It could be getting out and going for a walk over the course of the day, just clearing the head. That in itself is rest and recovery.
And then the other thing is diet.
Yeah.
You've really gotten into your food in recent years. Were you like that when you were an athlete?
Yeah, well, you touched on it at the start of this conversation. I was probably a little bit obsessive about my diet. You know, I used to weigh out all my foods. I was very strict on myself. And I've relaxed a little bit now. I explore food. I really enjoy food. I enjoy cooking. I think it's such a social thing. It's great for the family. All I wanted to do in this book was showcase some really simple, easy, practical and sustainable tips. So, like, again, using ingredients over and over, making some base sauces and paste that you can use. So if you come in after a day's work, that there's something you can knock up that's healthy in 10 minutes. You know, you're reusing foods, you're not wasting food. So, you know, there's simple things in there, like for example, a sheet pan. You get a sheet pan, throw all the ingredients on it. You could have anything from some prawns in there, some potatoes, and you just bang them in the oven. You know, really simple and effective meals. And I've really worked hard on the recipes in here, because I feel they're a lot better than my first book, and they're a lot more sustainable and practical. And that's something coming from someone now that has two kids, and my wife works full time. I work for myself, so it's busy. So you're trying to just keep things nice and healthy and
quick. Do you avoid alcohol?
I would have, when I was struggling and with depression and things like that, I disengaged an awful lot. I wouldn't go out. And I think, you know, yes, I wouldn't be a big drinker. There wouldn't be a whole lot of alcohol knocking around the house, but I do enjoy going out and engaging with my mates and having a few pints. And I won't beat myself up about that. I'll enjoy it. But it's few and far between, if I'm brutally honest. You know, but I'm not completely against it. I'm not completely against getting a takeaway or chilling out a little bit. I'm not the food police. It is all about balance. And I think sometimes if it puts a smile on your face, it can't be that bad.
As I said, the bulk of the book, and it's beautifully produced by Gil, is the diet element on the various meals and stuff that you clearly enjoy your time in the kitchen. As we saw at that time, how many years ago now, Celebrity?
Yeah, I know. I've got to be honest with you, Matt. That was 2013. So that's 5 years ago. And I'm continuing to milk the backside out of that.
David Kinnock, great seeing you again. Great to see you looking so well. The book is called Back on Track. Eat, Move, Think and Rest Your Way to Your Happiest, Healthiest Self.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.